Chapter 4, Attainment. Number 1. What is the state of attainment of knowledge? It is firm and effortless abidance in the self, in which the mind, which has become one with the self, does not subsequently emerge again at any time. That is, just as everyone usually and naturally has the idea, I am not a goat, nor a cow, nor any other animal but a man, when he thinks of his body, so also when he has the idea, I am not the principles, beginning with the body and ending with the sound, but the self, which is existent, consciousness, and bliss, the innate self-consciousness, he is said to have attained firm knowledge. Number 2. To which of the 7 stages of knowledge does the sage belong? He belongs to the 4th stage. Number 3. If that is so, why have 3 more stages superior to it been distinguished? The mark of the stages 4 to 7 are based upon the experiences of the realized person. They are not states of knowledge and release. So far as knowledge and release are concerned, no distinction whatever is made in these 4 stages. Number 4. As liberation is common to all, why is Varishtha alone praised excessively? So far as the Varishtha, common experience of bliss, is concerned, he is extolled only because of the special merit acquired by him in his previous births, which is the cause of it. Number 5. As there is no one who does not desire to experience constant bliss, what is the reason why all sages do not attain the state of the Varishtha? It is not to be attained by the mere desire or effort. Karma is its cause. As the ego dies along with it, cause, even the 4th stage, what agent is there beyond the stage to desire anything or to make efforts? So long as they make efforts, they will not be sages. Do not the sacred texts, which specially mention the Varishtas, say that the other 3 are unenlightened persons? Number 6. As some sacred texts say that the supreme state is that in which the sense organs and the mind are completely destroyed, how can that state be compatible with the experiences of the body and the senses? If that were so, there would be no difference between that, the state, and the state of deep sleep. Further, how can it be said to be the natural state when it exists at one time and not at the other? This happens, as stated before, to some persons according to their karma, for some time or till death. It cannot properly be regarded as the final state. If it could be, would it mean that all great souls and the Lord, who were the authors of the Vedic works and the Vedas, were unenlightened persons? If this supreme state is that of which neither the senses nor the mind exists, and not in the state in which they exist, how can it be the perfect state? As karma alone is responsible for the activity or inactivity of the sages, great souls have declared the state alone to be the ultimate state. Number 7. What is the difference between the ordinary sleep and waking sleep? In ordinary sleep, there are not only no thoughts, but also no awareness. In waking sleep, there is awareness alone. That is why it is called awake while sleeping. That is the sleep in which there is awareness. Number 8. What is the self described both as the 4th state and beyond the 4th state? Turiya means that which is the 4th state. The experiencers of the 3 states of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep, who wander successively in these 3 states, are not the self. It is the object of making this clear, namely, that the self is that which is different from them, and which is the witness of these states, that is called the fourth state. When this is known, the three experiencers disappear, and the idea that the self is a witness, that it is the fourth, also disappears. That is why the self is described as beyond the fourth. Number 9. What is the benefit derived from the stage of the sacred books? The sage who is the embodiment of the truths mentioned in the scriptures has no use for them. Number 10. Is there any connection between the attainment of supernatural powers and liberation? Enlightened inquiry alone leads to liberation. Supernatural powers are illusionary appearances created by the power of Maya. Self-realization, which is the permanent, is the only true accomplishment. Accomplishments which appear and then disappear, being the effect of the Maya, cannot be real. They are accomplished with the object of enjoying fame and pleasures. They come unsought to the persons through their karma. Know that the union with the Brahman is the real aim of all accomplishments. This is also the state of liberation, known as union. Number 11. If this is the nature of liberation, why do some scriptures connect it with the body and say that the individual soul can attain liberation only when it does not leave the body? It is only if bondage is real that liberation and the nature of its experiences have to be considered. So as far as the self is concerned, it has really no bondage at all in the four states, as bondage is merely a verbal assumption according to the emphatic proclamation of the Vedanta system. How can the question of liberation, which depends upon the question of bondage, arise when there is no bondage? Without knowing this truth, to inquire to the nature of bondage and liberation, it's like inquiring to the non-existent height, color of a barren woman's son, or the horns of a hare. Number 12. If that is so, do not the descriptions of bondage and release found in the scriptures become irrelevant and untrue? No, they do not. On the contrary, the delusion of bondage fabricated by the ignorance of time immemorial can be removed only by the knowledge. And for this purpose, the term liberation has been usually accepted. That is all. For the fact that the characteristics of liberation are described in different ways proves that they are imaginary. Number 13. If that is so, are there all efforts such as study, reflection, and hearing useless? No, they are not. The firm conviction that there is neither bondage nor liberation is the supreme purpose of all efforts. All this purpose of seeing boldly, through the direct experience that bondage and liberation do not exist, cannot be achieved except with the aid of aforesaid practices. These efforts are useful. Number 14. Is there any authority for saying that there is neither bondage nor liberation? This is decided on the strength of experience and not merely on the strength of the scriptures. Number 15. If it is experienced, how is it experienced? Bondage and liberation are mere linguistic terms. They have no reality to them. Therefore, they cannot function of their own accord. It is necessary to accept the existence of some basic thing, of which they are modifications. If one inquires, for whom is there bondage and liberation? It will be seen, they are for me. If one inquires, who am I? One will see that there is no such thing as I. It will then be clear, as a fruit in one's hand, that what remains is one's real being. As this truth will be naturally and clearly experienced by those who leave aside mere verbal discussions and inquiry into themselves inwardly, there is no doubt that all realized persons uniformly see neither bondage nor liberation, so far as the truth self is concerned. Number 16. If truly there is no bondage nor liberation, what is the reason for the actual experiences of joys and sorrows? They appear to be only real when one turns aside from one's real nature. They do not really exist. Number 17. Is it possible for everyone to know directly without a doubt what exactly is one's true nature? Undoubtedly, it is possible. Number 18. How? It is the experiences of everyone that even in the states of deep sleep, fainting, when the entire universe moving and stationary, beginning with the earth and ending with the unmanifested, disappear, he does not disappear. Therefore, the state of pure being, which is common to all, and which is always experienced directly by everyone, is one's true nature. The conclusion is that all that experiences in the enlightened, as well as the ignorant state, which may be described by a newer and newer words, are opposed to one's real nature. May this book, consisting of the words of experiences, which have come out of the lotus heart of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi, shine as a lamp of true knowledge to illuminate the true minds of those who have renounced the world. End of the spiritual instruction.